Hi there, this is Bill Woods up in Sun Valley, Arizona, and I'm hoping that you're having a good week. I'm hoping that you're looking forward to Thanksgiving and that you realize how much you have to be thankful for. We read in Thanksgiving's always had a lot of meaning for me because it was 78 years ago on November 26 in 1942. That my parents had a baby boy, 5 pounds, 11.5 ounces, that they named William Walter Woods. And I always had a very special place for Thanksgiving. Now, my birthday does not always fall on Thanksgiving, but usually when I was growing up, that was the day we celebrated for my birthday. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there right now. I want to read some scripture to you. Luke chapter 17. 11 through 17, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9?" Thursday, November 26, is Thanksgiving Day when we focus on the matter of giving thanks. I remember years ago I went to a school in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and saw on the wall that that Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful. But in order to be thankful, you need to be thankful to someone, not just thankful. You need to thank someone, and that someone would be God for all the blessings he's given out to you and to all of us. And it's supposed to be a time, that we focus on God and how good he's been. But so many people just focus on turkey and food and football, and they're missing the whole meaning. Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday in the United States commemorating the harvest reaped by the Plymouth Colony in 1621. This was a very special feast because the people now were starting to get settled and they had come through a horrific winter where 51 people had died during the winter because of the cold, because of starvation. At one point, were down to only 5 kernels of corn apiece, and only a couple of people were able to be up and move around the rest of the pilgrims to minister to them. It was a horrible time. Now they had made friends with the nearby Indians, and Squanto and some of his friends had come in to have a feast with them, and they brought in a couple deer and some other things to eat. Anyhow, it was a wonderful time to praise God for the fact that they now were establishing a place where they could worship, they could do the things that they wanted to do without all the persecution they had faced before. The first National Thanksgiving Day was proclaimed by President George Washington on November 26, 1789. President Lincoln revived the custom in 1863. In 1941, Congress decreed Thanksgiving should fall on the fourth Thursday of November. The customary turkey dinner is a reminder of the 4 wild turkeys served at the Pilgrims' first Thanksgiving feast. It's time when families and friends and loved ones have always gotten together to enjoy a great Thanksgiving feast together and just praise God for all his blessings. This year, government officials are trying to limit how many people can come to your family get-togethers to celebrate this wonderful holiday. They're using the excuse of trying to control the COVID-19 pandemic. Thanksgiving should be a way of life for all Christians. It shouldn't happen just once a year, but should be a daily sending up of thanks to God out of our heart, grateful for his blessings. In today's scripture, Jesus is traveling with his disciples on the border between Galilee and Samaria. 10 lepers met him. The Jews hated the Samaritans and had no dealing with them at all. But in this group of 10 lepers, there was at least one Samaritan. The Samaritans were a mixed race, contaminated by foreign blood and false worship. Jewish historian Josephus said Samaritans were also opportunists. When the Jews enjoyed prosperity, the Samaritans were quick to acknowledge their blood relationship, but when the Jews suffered hard times, the Samaritans disowned any such kinship, declaring they were descendants of Assyrian immigrants. When a group of Jews led by Zerubbabel returned from the Babylonian captivity, the Samaritans offered to help Zerubbabel rebuild the temple. When their offer was rejected, they tried to prevent the Jews from finishing their project. We can read about it in Ezra chapter 4, 1 through 10. It says, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed to him ever since King Esarhaddon of Assyria brought us here. But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, you may have no part in this work. We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us. Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their plans. This went on during the entire region of entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia, and lasted until King Darius of Persia took the throne. Years later, when Xerxes began to reign, his enemies of Judah wrote a letter of accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Even later, during the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, the enemies of Judah, led by Bishlam, Mithridath, and Tabeel, sent a letter to Artaxerxes in the Aramaic language, and it was translated for the king. Rehum, the governor, and Shimshai, the court secretary, wrote the letter telling King Artaxerxes about the situation in Jerusalem. They greeted the king for all their colleagues, the judges, the local leaders, the people of Tarpel, the Persians, the Babylonians, and the people of Erech and Susa, which would be Elam. They also sent greetings from the rest of the people whom the great and noble Ashurbanipal had deported and relocated in Samaria and throughout the neighboring lands of the province west of the Euphrates River. When Nehemiah attempted to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, he was opposed by Aramaic and Samaritan groups. Nehemiah 2:10 through 6:14, interesting reading. The breach between the Samaritans and the Jews widened even further when Ezra, in his zeal for racial purity, pressured all Israelite men who had married during the captivity to divorce their pagan wives. That's Ezra chapter 10, 18 through 44. The final break between the two groups occurred when the Samaritans built a rival temple on Mount Gerizim, claiming Shechem rather than Zion, which would be Jerusalem, as the true Bethel or house of God, the site traditionally chosen and blessed by the Lord. Again, Jesus is traveling with his disciples when they come across this group of pitiful lepers who called out to Jesus for help. Now, there's a beautiful picture here. Though animosity existed between the Jews and the Samaritans, Jesus knew all that, but instead saw 10 men in need. He was touched by their needs. 10 lepers were healed. Only one returned to thank Jesus for his healing touch. Figure it out. Only 10% came back to thank Christ for what he had done. Let's not be guilty of being part of the 90% who don't give him the thanks and glory that he deserves. Now, the condition of these men were they were lepers. Leprosy is a type or picture of sin in a person's life, and they were defiled. The leper had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that others were warned at the defilement. They were denounced. No one wanted anything to do with a leper. The lepers were an unkempt people. Their bodies stank due to the putrefying sores all over their bodies and their lack of personal hygiene. No one was to touch them, and everyone was to keep their distance from these stricken people. We don't know how much distance had to be between the leper and the healthy people. One authority said if the leper was windward of a healthy person, he was to stand at least 50 yards away. That'd be 150 feet. Our social distancing is 6 feet. The lepers lived in isolation. It was felt leprosy was a highly communicable disease, very contagious. The leper had to wear mourning, or mourning, clothes, leaving his hair unkept, keep his beard covered, and cry, "Unclean, unclean," to warn folks. He had to make it clear that everyone was to avoid him. He was an outcast as long as he lived. And what a horrible, lonely life that would have been. They were denied. A leper wasn't allowed to join in public worship because he was defiled and might infect others. Today, a person's sins must be forgiven before he or she can truly worship God. Though they're not ostracized, they don't really have quite the ability to fit in either because they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Notice the miserable cry that these lepers had. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They were desperate. No one else could help them. They were crying out for mercy. Jesus was their only hope for healing. And Jesus had compassion. They didn't know when Jesus spoke in Luke 17:14 that it would bring their healing. They were healed as they went towards the temple to see the priests. When they obeyed Jesus' instructions, they were cleansed. Jesus healed them. He was moved by their plight and by their faith. The cleansing of the marked ones in Luke 17:14 says they were cleansed. Only Jesus can make the leper or the sinner clean. Faith was a part of their recovery. Obedience had a part in their recovery too. If they hadn't obeyed Jesus, it wouldn't have happened. Christ brought about their healing because they did as he directed. You know, you and I need to obey Jesus too in everything. Jesus said, you know, that not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who do the will of the Father. Only one was grateful, only one leper was grateful enough to come back and thank Jesus, it says in Luke chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. Jesus said in Luke 17:18, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger." Faith made them whole. However, that faith was anchored in the person of Jesus Christ. I was reading back some things in history, and I found this story. At the age of 7, a young boy and his family were forced out of their home, and the boy was forced to go to work. When he was 9, his mother died. He had a job as a store clerk, but lost it when he was 20. The young man wanted to go to law school, but he had no education. He went into debt when he was 23 to become a partner of a small store. 3 years later, his business partner died and left him with a debt that took years to repay. He dated a girl for 4 years, and at the age of 28, he asked her to marry him. She turned him down. Later, he married another lady that was a very cranky shrew and made his life miserable. At 37, he was elected to Congress on his third try. He then failed to be reelected. This man's son died when the baby was only 4 years old. At age 45, he ran for the Senate and failed to be elected. He persisted at politics and ran for vice presidency at age 47, and wouldn't you know, he lost again. Finally, at 51, he was elected president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. And then President Lincoln did a very unusual thing. In the midst of the darkest day in American history, in the midst of the Civil War, which claimed more American lives than any other war, in the midst of the great trial and tragedy, President Lincoln issued the following proclamation. "It has seemed to me fit and proper that the gifts of God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Abraham Lincoln had a grateful heart. He knew that even in the midst of great tribulation and hardship, there was much to be thankful for. We could learn a lesson about that today in what we're facing with this pandemic and all the panic that's going on and the election that just seems to go on and on forever. He took the time to express his gratitude to God and invited the American people to join him in giving thanks to God Almighty. May faith express itself in our lives too through gratitude and thanksgiving unto God. You know, there's a lot for us to be thankful for. I know that we're kind of living in a precarious day with all these different things about the economy and about, you know, being in lockdown and all these things. But I think that we ought to stop and thank God for what he's done for us. We need to pray for our nation. We need to be thankful for the fact that God has provided us a place where we can be warm and where we can have a roof over our heads, most of us. And, you know, if you don't, we're praying for you too. But anyhow, I think it's a time we ought to just be grateful to God. And the thing most grateful about is the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son to work out a plan of salvation for our souls so that we can be saved from hell and be able to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ and go to heaven to live with him forever someday. I would like to pray for you and ask God to give you a blessed Thanksgiving. Ask God, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you will find him today and that you will know the peace that passes understanding. Listen, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you that we've lived in this magnificent country. And Lord, right now we're going through some rough times. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't know who is going to be our president, but we do know that you have said, Lord, that you are the one that selects who's going to be in these positions of power, and that we'll either get what we need or get what we deserve. And Father, I know as sinful as this nation has been and we've pulled away from you, I know that we don't deserve mercy, but Lord, we need mercy today. And I pray that you'll just bless this nation, that you'll help, Lord, this thing about the presidents to be decided. We know that you will have your will. And I pray, God, that each one of us will accept you and your plan in our lives. And those who don't know you as their personal Savior, that, Father, they will come to you and ask for forgiveness and allow you to forgive them of their sins and make them part of your family. Thank you so much for Thanksgiving, Jesus. I pray that you'll bless each one. And as we go about the business of the holiday, don't let us forget, Lord, what we're really supposed to be doing. We praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with those today who are not as blessed as we are. There are people in our world today, right here in this nation, who are homeless, who are looking for some warmth and food. And I'd pray, God, you'll bless them and give us opportunity to know how to help those people. There are also people in our world that can't worship like we do, that are being persecuted or are being martyred. I'd pray, God, that you'll be with them and bless them and help them, God, to have strength to stand for you. I just love you today, Jesus, and I want to say thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Again, this is Bill Woods, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. And if you would like to contact me for anything, my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you later. God bless you all.